Hi, and welcome to Becoming Less, an Edmontonian journey to less waste, less impact, less consumption, and less clutter. Becoming Less is brought to you by Waste Free Edmonton, and together we're dedicated to waste reduction efforts, big and small. I'm Biz.
And I'm Emma.
And we're going to talk about books today.
Woohoo!
I am a slow reader, but I do read almost every day. How about you?
I feel like I'm an incredibly slow reader. So in university, I actually double majored, and one of my majors was literature. So I love books and I love reading, but I feel like I'm a very active reader. I can't just kind of like turn off my brain and sit back and get carried away. Like, I'm constantly trying to make connections and think, and I love writing in margins. So it takes me a while, depending on what I'm reading, to get through a book, but my partner will go through like, I don't even know how many books he reads a year. So many. Every time I talk to him, he's reading a new book.
Every time you talk to him, don't you guys live together?
I swear. Like, he'll just be getting into a book. And then next thing I know, he's complaining because he's finished the series and he can't find another one that he likes. And he's tried to start like 6 different books, but isn't into it. I'm like, how? Like, I'm still on the same book as last time. And you've read like 5 books and have sampled a few others and are just not satisfied.
Yeah, my husband is a bit of a fast reader as well. I never know what he's reading because we've tried to read books together, and I just take so long that he can't wait for me to finish the first one in order to read the second one together, right? Like, but he'll read a lot longer at a time, whereas I generally have like a 15-minute blip before bed. I love reading before bed, but I can't sit down and just be with a book without feeling like I could be being more productive in some other way.
We're kind of the opposite. Like, he reads every single night before bed, whereas I, like, when I want to sit down and read, like, I'll sometimes try to read before bed, but often I find like I want to keep reading but my eyes are too tired or they're done. And our home is quite an old house. Like, the lighting when it's nighttime or when it's dark is really not great. So, like, I can't sit and read in the living room in the evening. When it's dark out early in the winter, I can really only read either during the day, in the middle of the day, when there's lots of beautiful light, or in bed with my spotlight. But I would prefer to sit down and read for longer periods of time. The trouble for me is very similar with you. There's other things you want to be doing, and I'm a maker. Like, I love to be busy with my hands doing things. Mm-hmm. So if I have time in the middle of the day with lots of natural, beautiful light, as much as I would love to read, I'll be like, I'm going to do this project or finish this or start this. And I tend to get pulled away quite often.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have a hard time just giving myself permission to sit down and read.
Well, I'll give you permission. You okay, deserve it.
Well, sit, I'm going to go now.
It's good for your soul.
Emma next gave me permission. Like, I'm leaving. Podcast is over.
See it is. But no, next time you want to sit down and read and you're like, oh, I should be doing this, you're like, no, Emma, I might not give my... Emma gave me permission.
Emma,
like,
said it was okay.
This. Yeah.
My customers probably won't be very happy that I'm not finishing their projects that they've paid me to do, but you know...
Yes, good call.
So how many books do you own?
I'm going to get you to answer this first. I'll give you a guesstimate.
Okay, because I can see them all from here on a shelf. I have 5 fiction books. Nope, that's not even true. 4 fiction and an autobiography. And then I have 6 quilting books, none of which I've purchased. They've been gifted to me. The 5 books are all Star Trek related. And I just don't want, like, the minimalist in me doesn't want a ton of books in my life. The quilting books, like, I have books and patterns that I reference sometimes if I'm looking for ideas. Although most of the time I'll go on the internet, but sometimes I just like to flip through a book. So they're kind of nice to have. I just don't see the point in owning books that I'm not going to reread, so why would I keep them?
Mm-hmm. Ah, yes. We have very different relationship with books, you and I. I have probably more books than that just being used as objects to add height and depth on my plant shelves. Okay. Like at the back of my shelf, if I need a plant to be higher, I'll have it perched on like a stack of three books.
So you have decorative books.
Yeah. But those ones, oftentimes, they're just like hardcover books that I got from the reuse center that I got for projects. So I have, like, I love books for the text, but I also love books as objects. And something I used to do a few years ago was actually like hollow out books and like varnish the pages so that they would become like a hollow book box. That's where I keep my passport and important little documents and stuff like that is actually in a hollow book.
Oh, okay.
So I have a couple of those. I use like some of the artwork I have hanging on my wall. I have these beautiful like collaged amphoras that are made from the text of an Agatha Christie novel that I got at a secondhand shop in Paris for like a euro. So for me, I appreciate them on very different levels depending on like why I'm purchasing it. And at first I had a really hard time like cutting books, but then when I realized like these are literally like they've kind of gone through the ringer, they're falling apart, they're just kind of like waiting for their last life for 50 cents or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Those ones, and like when I know that they're like widely produced, like lots of the ones that I've cut up have been like Reader's Digest, like shortened compilation stories, if that makes sense.
Okay, yep.
So I don't know, I used to really struggle with it, thinking like I could never like desecrate this object, like this is not how you're supposed to use books, but I've really kind of challenged my relationship with them. Yeah. And looking at them as objects instead of just text.
So I did do the hollowed out book thing once as a geocache I hid in a library.
Very cool.
So this was in a very small town. I made arrangements with the librarian there that the geocache location brings you to a coordinates that have the call number. And then when they see that the number on there is not more coordinates, they realize that it's the Dewey Decimal System, then they have to go to that section of the library that it's outside of and find the book in the library on the shelf. And then inside it's hollow with a logbook.
That's so cool. How, like, just thinking of, I guess you said it's a small town and you coordinated with the librarian, but like, I wonder, like, if there's ever somebody else in there or a new librarian, like, are they going to kind of pass that little tradition and secret on?
I don't know. I don't get a lot of, like, I get emails every time somebody finds it, and it doesn't get found very often. So for all I know, it's gone already. But
oh no! You'll have to go back and find out if it's still there.
If I were to ever step foot in that town, possibly, I would check on it, yes.
I think that's so cool.
But yeah, so yeah, okay. I've done that, but for a very different reason.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's really interesting. I can't honestly even remember. Oh, how many books do I have? That was your question.
That was the question, yes.
So yeah, like I think I have more books that like are not even books. Like I consider them more objects or resources or found paper than you have actual books that you read that you have for the intention of being a book.
My husband has a few more books because he has one author that he is his favorite author. So for Christmas one year, and he likes like sets. He likes things to match and be pretty. So mm-hmm. for Christmas one year, I got him not every book because I didn't want to spend that much money, but a lot of the books by this author, all in like a pretty coordinated European version of the cover. Mm-hmm. So they all matched and they all like coordinated with each other. So then he has one shelf of that set of books. And I'm pretty sure that's all he has. So yeah, that's it.
When you guys read books, is it mostly like a physical copy or do you ever do the e-readers?
We have Kobos.
Do you?
Yeah. That was our Christmas gift to each other 3 years ago. Three Christmases ago, I think. We were like, this is the best thing ever. Mm-hmm. I have 18 books on here. I will never be bored with what I'm reading because I can just pick something else. And it's still this compact, waterproof thing that I can take wherever I want. I can take it wherever I want. I can read it in the bathtub. I have it by the bed. And yeah, sometimes, because I tend to flip-flop between fantasy and, I'm going to straight up admit, self-help books. not like, I don't know. I like productivity books and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm into that. Adam thinks it's weird, but he's like, how is that relaxing? You're not relaxing.
But reading doesn't just have to be about relaxing.
Yeah, I think he would like to see me relax more. Like I said, I don't give myself permission to stop and read. And
but
even
maybe
when
that happens after you get through the self-help book?
No, because they're all like productivity books or like climate change books or like doomsday books. It's either how to get more done in a day or why you should care about the world ending.
Mm-hmm. I see where he's coming from. I'm going to have to side with him on this one.
So he's like, but I mean, like I said, I flip-flop between those and fantasy or like science fiction. As you can tell from the books that I have on my shelf being all Star Trek books. And I am sad now as I stare at it, seeing that I'm missing one. I really want Leonard Nimoy's autobiography, I Am Not Spock. He made two. The first one was I Am Not Spock, and the second one was I Am Spock, and I do have I Am Spock. And I'm like, I want the first one. I want it in my collection.
Yeah.
And then I have the autobiography of James T. Kirk. And the autobiography of Jean-Luc Picard. And I think there's one more in the set of those that I don't have too. And then the other ones are just Star Trek novels, which I actually might just get rid of. So even there, I'm like, oh man, five books, oh, that's too much.
No, I like odd numbers too. And I mean, if it's, well, you wouldn't want to risk them getting wrecked. I was going to say, if it's the minimalist in you, like you could consider using them as something functional too. Instead of just taking up room on your shelf.
No, I'll read those again.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I will read the autobiography ones again. The novel ones.
Oh, no, I mean, like, if there's, like, a functional, like, the way I have some of my books stacked underneath a plant pot or something like that to add. Like, it can become decorative as well as.
Yeah, I'm so anti-decorative. Like, that shelf is my, it's, like, my one shelf of luxury items that really have no purpose. They don't have purpose.
They have purpose.
Like, this is my shelf of frivolity. It's got stuffed tribbles and my books and one hilariously inappropriate object, which I won't describe on the podcast, but it's just silly. It does have my Star Trek binding buddies, so they do have purpose. So they hold on to the binding while I'm like binding a quilt.
Oh,
you
cool.
Wrap them around them, but they're in the shape of McCoy and Worf.
This is not book related, but I feel like you'll really appreciate this. I love my Birkenstocks. I've always loved my Birkenstocks. And my ex many, many years ago, but I will always remember, like this must have been like 15 years ago, one time referred to them as my Kirk and Spocks. And now every time I put on my Birkenstocks, I just hear Kirk and Spock.
Oh, yeah. That does put a happy in my heart place. You're right.
My Kirk and Spocks. So if you ever hear me talking about my Kirk and Spocks, they're not my binding buddies. They're my sandals.
I love that. I love that so much.
I thought you would.
Okay. Anyway, back to books. So
yes,
there are people who love to collect books.
My stepson is one of those people, 100%.
There are tons of ways to utilize books without collecting them and buying mm-hmm. them new while still supporting the authors.
Mm-hmm.
So you can, I mean, when you buy ebooks, you support the author without creating anything physical being made, which is nice.
Even when you borrow or check out an ebook from the library.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So libraries are great because it doesn't cost you anything, but the author still gets something from the library for having access to the books, which is why you still have to go on a waiting list for a digital copy of a book because they only have the license for so many
distributions or whatever. Yeah, I didn't realize that actually. I never even questioned why. For me, it just kind of always made sense.
Yeah, it's for licensing reasons.
Yeah, very interesting.
So
yeah,
that is the downside of a library because you have to often wait for books. You can't just get it instantly. Whereas if you purchase an ebook, you get it instantly. But either way, you don't have to leave your house.
Yeah.
Which I kind of love.
And you don't have to worry about what to do with it after. Yeah.
The other disadvantage of a library is that you only have so long to read it. And if you mm-hmm. are like me, 3 weeks is just not enough time to read a book.
I totally agree. Often it takes me a really long time to get through a book, either because I'm only doing it, like you said, right before bed for 15 minutes before you fall asleep, or you mean to pick it up but then get distracted with other things, so you put it down. Next thing you know, it gets moved into the notorious Emma piles that then get hidden. When Ryan cleans my stuff, he just puts it in a pile and hides it. I actually just found the library book downstairs yesterday that I checked out like a year ago. So pretty sure that I've paid for that now as a lost book because it just gets kind of shuffled away.
Yeah. So advantage, if you do have the 3 week minimum for your ebook, the library just takes it back. You don't have to mm-hmm. worry about returning it on time. No mm-hmm. late fees. So that is nice. But I know that some people, are you one of the people who just like, you want that physical book in your hand?
When I read it?
Yeah.
100%. Like when I travel, one of my favorite things is to walk into a bookstore. Like I love the smell of books. I love picking up books. I love touching them. I love the feeling of them between my hands. Like I love turning the page. I love physically seeing. Like I know with the e-readers, you have those little like progress bars that tell you how far along you are, but that doesn't do anything for me. Like, I like to see how much I have left, how much I've been through. It, like, helps me figure out where I am and how much time I can commit. Like, if I know I'm almost done and there's, like, 3 centimeters left, then I'll, like, commit to staying up late to finish it, or I'll commit to doing it the next morning.
3 centimeters?
Yeah, like...
Millimeters?
Yeah, well, it depends, right? Like, if it's...
3 centimeters is a lot of book left to read.
Yeah, but okay, well, I'm just thinking that was the case with the book. I just finished a book for book club 2 weeks after we met to talk about it. I never finish book club books on time. And I was, like, really into it. And I wasn't willing to stop and kept telling me, turn off the light, because he was fast asleep. But I'm like, I need to... No, like, I'm committed. I'm invested. I'm doing this thing.
Okay, so 2 advantages that I've thought of about my Kobo versus a real book in that little segment there. 1, if I fall asleep with it, I never lose my page.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking of that actually earlier, because he falls asleep. I know he's asleep when his ebook drops.
Yeah.
And, like, hey, yeah, he's laid out.
Yeah, Adam and I often will come to bed. Well, he usually comes to bed and picks it up and moves it, because he is very rarely in bed before I am. But sometimes we go to bed at the same time and he'll fall asleep first and his book will fall and I'll have to move his Kobo off to the side. And 2, the Kobo has a backlight. So I can read it at a very low backlit amount, so usually at like 8% or something. And the lamps can go off, but I can still read. Adam mm-hmm. can sleep.
Oh, and I don't like it. I would rather the light be on, like just his side light, than the glow of the screen.
It is not blue light though, so it's specifically intended to not be the yeah. light that keeps you up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. What's that like trending sound for like TikTok or Reels or whatever? I'm pretty sure it's Kim Kardashian being like, it's just not my thing, it's never been my thing, so not approved by me. Like, bury that.
Now, that being said, if you want a real physical book, you can, as we mentioned before, go to the library and get the mm-hmm. physical copy. I think, actually, there's probably less of a waiting time for physical books these days.
I don't know if I would agree with that. I find that often if it's a book that I want to check out, often it's because it's like, oh, well, it depends on what it is. Like, if it's like a trending book or Heather's pick or like from Oprah or Reese's book club or whatever it is, I feel like there's always, always, always going to be a weight on those because like they're very current and relevant and people are reading them now and talking about them now. So even the physical books, I feel like often they have a couple of weeks of a waiting list. But if it's just like some random book that you're looking for, you're wanting to read, or if it's another book by a similar author, like if it's not something that's trending, I feel like often those ones, there's not really a wait list for. But generally, if there's a book that's like time sensitive, like I don't even look honestly at the library for book club books because most of them are very current. And I know that by the time I get it, we will have already met to discuss it.
So for a book that I wanted to read, Getting Things Done. So that's the book that I went to the library to look for. If I want the physical copy, there are 9 holds and 6 copies. That means that it'll be like max 3 weeks before I get the book.
Assuming nobody like extends. Can you extend your checkout period?
You can't if there's a hold on it.
But if there's not a hold, you can.
You can't. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and then the ebook, there's 3 copies and 13 holds.
Mm.
So I think because ebooks are becoming more and more popular, you'll actually probably have a lesser wait time if you're looking for the physical copy.
Yeah.
Especially maybe not with like brand new, like you said, trending now books, but anything that's been out for a couple years.
Yeah.
You probably will have less of a wait time getting a physical copy, but mm-hmm. you have to bring it back.
And the other thing about the physical copy holds is lots of people, and I know this because I'm one of them, will put their name on the wait list, but like 3 or 4 weeks from now when it's available and ready for you, like maybe you're going away that weekend, maybe you have your hands full with something else. Like oftentimes when it finally is my turn, I don't have time to go in and get it the same way that I did when I put my name on hold. So then it ends up just going to the next person in line.
So now I don't know. Because it's been so long since I've gotten a physical book from the library, with an ebook, you can tell it to give you another week or 2 or 3.
Yeah.
So if you don't want it right that very second, you're like, no, I'm in the middle of a book. I'm almost done it, though. Or you're on vacation and you can't go get it. You can just say, let me have it again in 7 days, 14 days, 21 days. And mm-hmm. then you don't go to the back of the line. But you can let the next person ahead of you.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know.
Anyway, at least for Edmonton's library system. I don't mm-hmm. know other places would do that, but I imagine it'd probably be similar in a lot of places.
Yeah.
I mean, other than libraries, there's like those free libraries.
Yeah, the little free libraries. I've got quite a few of those in my community. They make me super happy. Yeah, there's lots of different ways of acquiring books. I am going to visit a friend of mine soon, and she has an almost 2-year-old, and she requested some English children's books because they don't really have access to very many English ones, I think, that have great illustrations that they're in love with where they're living. And so I put a call out in my Buy Nothing group to see if anybody had some books that they really enjoyed that they were finished with. And I've picked up one through my Buy Nothing group, but lots of suggestions were to check those little free libraries. Mm-hmm. A couple of the moms in the neighborhood are like, there are a few like here, here, and here, and we always stop by and bring stuff, and we always find really great stuff in those little free libraries. So
yeah,
I do love those. They're such a lovely way to build community.
Those are great source for books, and they're usually like really close, right? They're kind of everywhere, so there's usually one close by, and that's no matter where you are. Like it probably won't be very far to find your nearest little free library.
Or even take a book, leave a book at cafes.
Oh, okay. Didn't know that.
You've never seen Take a Book, Leave a Book?
No, not at a cafe. Maybe I'm going to the wrong cafes.
There was one, it just closed over by my mom's place, and they had a little corner with a Take a Book, Leave a Book shelf. Where else? I'm trying to remember another cafe. That was the first one that comes to mind, but I love the little Take a Book, Leave a Book corners.
That's fun.
Mm-hmm.
So thrift stores, obviously, you can get books in thrift stores.
Yeah, I think, what is it? The Reeve Center used to have tons of them, which is all sold by weight. And lots of times bookstore, like thrift, the book sections at thrift stores, sometimes they're priced like per book, but more often than not, it's like 4 books for this price or 5 books for this price. And they all just kind of get clumped in together. So it's a really, really affordable way.
I know that Value Village has them, I think, based on the price on the back of the book. Because, of course, they all have a price on them. And so it's like $1 for up to $5 or $2 for up to $10, et cetera, et cetera. And they are divvied up at Value Village between like fiction and nonfiction and fantasy and then in order of author. So it's actually pretty easy to go in there and find something more specific. So imagine like a lot of thrift stores are probably just like all willy-nilly, throw all the books up on the shelf, good luck. But I know that Value Village specifically does have them very organized. So if you're looking for something specific.
Yeah, I didn't know that. That's actually one thing I've never looked for at Value Village as a book, because I just always assume it's going to be like hours of looking if there's something in particular you're looking for. Generally, if I'm looking for a book, I feel like in my 20s, I used to love going to bookstores to just like look and see if there's something that caught my eye that I wanted to read. But now I'm kind of at the stage where like if I'm getting a book, it's because it's something that I've decided that I want to read and I go looking for it.
Well, because I listen to a lot of podcasts, I tend to hear book suggestions through there. That's usually where I find at least my like productivity and environmental books tend to come from, podcast suggestions. And I almost always get more books that I'm like, oh, that sounds good, I'll put that on the list. More of those than I will ever read. So I will probably never have to go looking for a book to read. Because between the amount of fantasy books that Adam reads that he can suggest to me and the amount of suggestions from podcasts, I think I'm good. So I can't see myself. I'm not a browser anyway. I tend to avoid stores unless I'm looking for something specific. I'm not a browser.
Yeah. It depends on my mood. Sometimes I want to browse, but I feel like I said earlier, I'm kind of getting to the stage where now if there's something that I have decided to spend my money on, I've decided ahead of time and I'm looking for a specific thing more than I'm browsing.
I feel like I'm bitter and angry and I'm just like, I know if I walk in there, I'll be subject to marketing.
I love that. No, I refuse. No, with books though, I'm like, how many we have. I know I told you earlier, my stepson, like he's very particular. It sounds like your partner about sets and collecting. Like his books, he will know what edition it is. Like when I was 11, I didn't know like that there were different editions for books, but he'll know like the run and the, like exactly which one he's looking for, especially if it's been printed more than once. Like he's very aware of which version he would like, and he likes to have very completed sets. So even if he's done reading it, he may or may not go back and read it again. But he does like to keep them because it's like a collection for him. And sometimes he does surprise us and go back and reread them several times. And sometimes he's read them once and that's all he wants to do, but he's not ready to pass them on. Whereas for me, I tend to keep books and hold on to books because lots of them are for reference. Like I honestly, Biz, probably have as many books just about Picasso as you have, period. So yeah, I've got in the basement, I have a bookshelf full of especially art and art reference books that I, even if I'm not using them often, I will hold on to. And then in the spare bedroom, I have just one of those small hip height bookshelves, you know, the ones I'm talking about that have like 2 or 3 shelves in them. I have one of those that's full and it's getting some on top. So every now and then I'll like go through and see if there's any that I'm done with that I know that I won't read again. And those ones I'll pass on. But the books that I have noticed, I have the hardest time getting rid of, because I'm like, what is your next life after this, is textbooks. Like I remember in university, you would buy like a psych book 1 year, and then the next year it was already the outdated version. Right. And you couldn't even sell your 4th edition psych book because they were already onto 5th edition. And so the bookstore wasn't buying them back and students were hesitant to buy them because the page numbers wouldn't match up. And maybe because they changed like 10 words in the book. They had to print a whole new edition.
Yep.
So,
and they're like $800 each. And
They're super expensive. So
it's kind of bonkers.
When I was thinking of like, what do I want to talk about when I talk to Biz about books? Obviously, like where to acquire and like how to sustainably consume text is a really great talking point. But when I'm thinking about like the waste that comes out of it, like, and I did look it up because I had, when I was cleaning out my bookshelf, I'm like, can these glossy pages even be recycled? Like, I know wrapping paper can't be recycled because it's really high gloss and there's like all these fancy inks, but the glossy textbook pages can, as long as they're removed from the cover. So I'm like, what am I going to do with this textbook? So I started looking up, and obviously like the best thing is for it to be reused and like read to fill its intended purpose for as long as possible. So I did find somebody that wanted it and they will read it, but I looked up like what to do with like old, like nobody, like the book is like 20 years old now. Like if I couldn't sell it when it was 1 year old, no way am I going to be able to sell it at 20 years old. Me, it's not 20 years old. It's probably 5 years old.
I wasn't a reader when I was a kid. Apparently, according to my mother, who was a librarian, I couldn't get into books. And she also at one point owned a cafe/bookstore. And like, my mom loves books. My mom reads like a novel every week too. It's crazy. But she tried and she tried to like encourage. She's like, what about this book? What about this book? And then finally the book that made it click for me was Harry Potter. So I remember like, and I think either the third or the fourth one had just come out when I started reading the first one.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was just like at that just blowing up stage. And I got super into it. It had to have been before the fourth one, because I'm pretty sure the fourth one was the one that I went and stood outside of the bookstore at midnight to get the copy, like, immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And then I remember sitting down with the Goblet of Fire, like, literally all night and watching the sunrise. And that was the first time I ever remember staying up all night and watching a sunrise without ever having gone to bed. So that was like, my that was my first love of books.
I love that.
Then I really got into the Golden Compass and like the His Dark Materials series.
I never read those ones.
I have reread them multiple times, actually. And I feel like I love them for different reasons as an adult, but that I'm glad that I read them as like a 13, 14 year old or whenever I was.
Mm-hmm.
And had that, maybe that perspective of the same age as the characters, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, yeah, that's my little book love story.
Yeah, I remember Harry Potter, like, absolutely falling in love with it at around the same time. And then my mom started reading it as well. And I think it was the fourth book. Yeah, it is the fourth. Is it the fourth one when...
Spoilers?
Well, no, that's what... I'm like, no. I feel like at this stage, no. Everyone's read the books. Everyone's seen the movie.
Six.
Okay, then it was the sixth book, because I was reading them at the same time as my mom, and she's like, oh, did you get to this part yet? Oh, did you get to this part yet? Oh, has yet? And I was like, Mom! And then I stopped reading it and never continued.
Oh, that's depressing.
That was my moment where Harry Potter was just ruined for me, which maybe we need to like cut all of this from the podcast so I don't wreck it for someone else. But I feel like this far after, like, does anyone not know that anymore?
Probably not, but I don't know. I might put that as the ending. Just but was ruined for me too. And I cried. Oh, yeah. I cried and I cried.
I cried too. But like, as a personal anecdote, Harry Potter was one of the first like bonding with my mom. Like, I have such fond memories of reading that. And then I've given my copies, because I still had all the original ones, to Lexan. So those are the ones that he read.
So you haven't read Harry Potter?
I've read up until just before...
I challenge you to finish the books.
Well, I still have all of them. Well, up until, I don't think I kept buying them after that. Why would I? Unless my mom gave me hers, but.
They're under a plant somewhere now.
No, those ones are like books that like, I literally bought them to be cut up or used or whatever that nobody cares about. Like, there's one about hammerheads, I think. It's just a black hardcover book. not interested in the text at all. Obviously, no one else was, otherwise it didn't end up at the Reading Center.
Well, we should probably get into wine, cheese, and dessert.
Okay.
You want to go first?
Yes, my wine. It's not exactly book, it's book adjacent. My favorite bookstore in the whole wide world is called Shakespeare & Company, and it's in Paris, and it has these beautiful red stairs that are like completely worn down at the top. And oh, I wish I remembered. I should have read the quote right before, because I can't remember who says it. But like each step has a couple different words. And it says, I wish I could show you in times of darkness the astonishing light of your own being. And it's so lovely. It's just white text on these beautiful, like deep red stairs. And our house is like, we're on a 25-year renovation plan. I swear, we're always having to renovate something and update something. So it's been a very gradual process. And so my temporary stairs going to the basement where I like recreated them and I painted them all red and I did this text and I absolutely loved them. It made me feel like I had a little piece of Paris and Shakespeare & Company in my home. Ryan humored me and let me do it because it's temporary and bunny ears.
This is your wine? Like,
yeah, yeah, sure. Temporary. And last year we had to cover them up with carpet because we had our basement carpeted. So now...
Now somebody who owns the house later is going to take that carpet up and find your beautiful message underneath.
Yeah, which will be lovely. Which will be lovely, but that's my wine. Is that my... I thought maybe I could convince him that it wouldn't be temporary, but he was like, nope, I told you it was temporary and temporary's over now. We're covering them up with carpet. Oh. But they're under there. The message is under there.
And you know that, and it's in your heart. Okay, so... My wine is, I went into a Walmart for the first time in forever. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't remember the last time I was in a Walmart, but it was just, I was so grossed out by the amount of garbage, I guess, that everything either like that they're trying to sell you or that everything is wrapped in, and like the advertising paraphernalia, like the posters and the stickers and the everything that's going to get thrown out, and the Christmas crap. Right? Like this Christmas version of this thing that you probably don't need, but it's Christmas, so you have to buy it. And I'm just like, mm-hmm. Oh my God, get me out of here. I can't even handle all this.
Overwhelming.
I see everything as waste now. And I can't, like, I haven't been in a grocery store in a long time either because my husband works at one. So he just brings groceries home with him at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. So even grocery stores, like, I have a hard time walking down an aisle at a grocery store and not just seeing all the packaging that everything comes in.
Yeah.
It's like my entire perspective on stores has been warped. Anyway, yeah, it was just like, get me out of here. I can't. Yeah,
I feel that.
So that's my wine.
Oh, cheese?
Cheese.
Do you have some cheese?
I'm working on it.
I'll share my cheese with you. It's anecdotal, also book adjacent. I love Belle from Beauty and the Beast. I have always identified with Belle. Like, she's the smart little weirdo that's different than everyone, that like marches to the beat of her own drum and wants adventure. And I am Belle. And I remember having an argument with a 6-year-old Lexan, who was learning in school the difference between literally and figuratively, and we're driving. He's in the back seat. I was in the front seat. And I can't remember how it came up, but I said, well, like, I am Belle. And he goes, you mean figuratively? And I said, no, like, literally, I am Belle. Like, this is the story of my life. I am Belle. No, Emma, you're not Belle. You mean figuratively, not literally. So here I am. Having a full-blown argument with a 6-year-old who was right about whether or not I truly am Belle, which I maintain that I am.
Okay. That's funny because actually I feel like the Cinderella, like Cinderella is my story. And I'm like, no, you will get through life by being a good person. And people, that is where your reward will come from, because just... I know it sucks. I mean, not right now. My life is pretty great, which is part of the whole point. Is I'm just like, yes, be a good person and life will work out.
I love that. So we've got Cinderella and Belle.
We gotta have to do that for Halloween next year. Okay, my cheese. What did the man say when the book fell on his head?
What?
I only have my shelf to blame.
I love that. I only have my shelf to blame.
Dessert. Was it me? Am I going?
Dessert? Are we doing book recommendations? Like a book we really
That's what I was going to do, yeah.
I like that. Yeah, you go. Okay.
So for dessert, I was just going to list some books that I liked that had... The ones that I've picked are ones that are related to the podcast, so they're all like environmental books. But if you're looking for some good books to read and you're into the whole environmental scene, Zero Waste Home by Bea Johnson... And the rest of them, I don't have the authors, but 100 Mile Diet, A Beautiful Constraint, which is not specifically related, but I think that everyone should just read that book. Drawdown was sort of, it was intense. So, you know, be prepared for that, but it's a good read too. And Why Shrink Wrap a Cucumber? So those were good books. As far as waste and environmentalism goes, plus A Beautiful Constraint, which is just a great book.
There's one more I could add to that list. I'm just trying to find the actual name of it. What's it called? 101 Ways to Go Zero Waste by Catherine Kellogg.
Oh!
I couldn't remember if it was 100 or 101. That's why I'm like, I just have to Google her name really quick to find out what this number is.
Yeah.
But it's 101 ways to go zero waste.
I have seen things by Catherine Kellogg. I don't think I've read that book, but she's pretty great.
I really admire her as well. My dessert is not eco books. It's just books that I absolutely loved and would love to share with the world. The first one is Oranges Are Not the Only Fruit by Jeanette Winterson. Have you read that one?
No.
Oh, I love it so much. It's like part fiction, part autobiographical, and the way that she writes is just so amazing. Like, I read that book and immediately was like, what else has she written? I want to go read it now. So yeah, I really, really enjoyed that one. And then my other favorite, which... Like, I have never picked up a book and been like, this author, like, wrote this book for me. Like, they see me, they understand me, they know who I am, like, this is me. Or, like, how I feel, or how, like, stuff that, like, you haven't even articulated, and then you read it, and then you're like, how is this person in my house? Like, where are they? But anyways, that one is Flaneurs by Lauren Elkin. I brought it to show you. I love the cover even. It's so amazing. Women Walk the City in Paris, New York, Tokyo, Venice, and London. It's, yeah, like part anecdote, part art criticism, part like critical thinking. It's just, oh, I just love it. It's so good. It's so good.
Send me the info. I'll look into it.
I will. I love her so much. So those are my two books that were like, yeah, I don't even know. Those are my most recent ones that I'm just absolutely in love with.
Yeah, I actually haven't done any eco reading for a while. I think I just kind of got overwhelmed and I was just like, I get it. It's bad.
Yeah, I need to step away from it.
Yes, I stepped away from it for a while.
It overwhelms me so much. Yeah. Especially like the numbers and the facts, and it's almost one of those things, like, I know it's important to understand, but the more I learn, the more paralyzed I feel. So for me, my journey to becoming less, I need to focus less on the facts and the statistics and what's really going on, and focus more on like actionable things that I can do and habits that I can change, because then I feel more in control. And I know that, like, it's so much of it is systemic and we need to stop things. And that's why it's so great to have organizations like Waste Free Edmonton.
That's why we're part of Waste Free Edmonton. Yes.
Yeah.
That's why we do the things we do.
I need to focus less on learning the things and more on doing the things, because it's, like you said, walking into that Walmart and just being completely overwhelmed by the waste. Like, not just the packaging, like the products, like the actual things that are being sold even are garbage.
That's part of what I was saying, is like some of it's just like the crap that they're selling you, and the crap that they're selling you that you already have or don't really need, but it's Christmas themed, so you have to get it, right? Like, mm-hmm. it's just...
Ugh. It's everywhere.
It's everywhere. And it's shoved down your throat.
And then where's that going?
And it's really hard to escape. And so I get why it's really hard for there to be a demand for change.
Yeah.
But unless there's a demand for a difference in products, then the manufacturers aren't going to change, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
So that's one of the things that's great about your podcast and having it so... like topical, is there are so many different avenues to explore and things to consider and ways to engage. Like, becoming less doesn't mean being less. It's, I don't know. There are so many other ways.
I was so to do all of this. Proud of that title. You have no idea.
I love it. It's great.
I'm like, yes, this is a great title. And it has
withstood the test of time.
Thank you.
I got you.
All right. Thank you guys all so much for listening. Thank you to our supporters on Patreon who help support waste reduction efforts here in Edmonton, Alberta. Thank you to Change Toothpaste who sponsor the podcast and make it free for us to do, because we are all volunteers here, but podcasting is not free. If you want to get a hold of us, if you have suggestions for topics, if you have comments about the show, if you have your 2 cents to throw in about any of the topics we've discussed, email us at becominglesspod@gmail.com. You can follow us on Instagram at becominglesspod, or you can go to wastefree.ca/becominglesspod for all the ways to connect and listen. Until next time, we can all be a little less than we were yesterday.
I love all the pictures you send me of your cats. Ryan is like, what are their names? And I was like, I don't know who's who. And he goes, what kind of friend are you?